Matthew 18. There again, we see Jesus here teaching. Anywhere he went, as he traveled, he taught. And really, this parable is pretty common. We hear this quite often. And Matthew 18, verses 10 is where I'm going to start at. But really, that idea that God is our that greatest shepherd, that he is the one that watches after us, that cares for us, that he sent his son to die on that cross. But also, we're going to kind of read a little further, and Scott got kind of excited when I told him I was going to read these verses, because we call it church discipline is what we call it. But that's not what I want to point to this morning. And but there again, that idea that we need people around us to help us, to guide us, to be there for us. So let's start in Matthew 18, verse 10. See that you don't look down on these on one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save the lost. But do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, I assure you, he rejoices over that sheep more than the 99 that did not go astray. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. If your brother sins against you, you go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two more with you, so that by the testimony of one or three, or by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he pays no attention to them, tell the church. But if he doesn't pay attention, even to the church, let him be like an unbeliever and tax collector to you. I assure you, whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. Again, I assure you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for those men that are traveling and on mission and doing your work, and Lord, spreading your word no matter where they're at. And Lord, we do thank you for their willingness to do that. And Lord, that we have a Father that loves us enough to watch after us and over us as we go those places. But Lord, also that we have that mission here locally. Lord, that sometimes we back away from that for whatever reason, but Lord, we need each other to encourage each other, to push forward, to do more than what we're doing in our Christian lives. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Lord, that he went to that cross, that his blood was spilled for us, that we could have eternal salvation with you. That's the greatest gift of all. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray all these things in his name. So like as I started, you know, here is this picture of this, you know, Jesus standing in the crowd and teaching people. And there again, I love that he uses agricultural stuff, because my mind works that way. It's simple. It's easy to understand. And the people in the crowd would have understood it too. You know, there's probably shepherds standing there. And, you know, he starts out in verse 10. In the first part of the chapter, he was talking about, you know, not turning people away and not looking down on those. And he continues that in verse 10. See that you don't look down on one of these little ones. And really, sometimes we say, well, he's talking about children that they are denying or whatever. No, all believers, you know, new believers, old believers, we should not look down on another believer. You know, if they're struggling, we should help them. We should, you know, try to step in. And he goes on because, you know, that I tell you that in heaven, their angels continually view their face of their Father. Now, this is not a verse for those that think they have a guardian angel. This is, there's nowhere in the Bible that really says that. This is talking about there's angels that God uses to help us as believers. In those times of need that he sends to us, to minister, to work through different ways to help believers. And they're continually looking at the Father. They're waiting for those instructions to go and do that. So just like that idea of that football coach, and there again, I like to watch college football, so I watched a little bit last night, but you know, you see those guys, they're all set, and they're going to call that play, and then all of a sudden they change it, and what do? They look to the sidelines, look to their coach. These angels are standing there looking to God for that instruction. So my first point as I get into this, that God is that perfect shepherd, like I said to start with. God is the perfect shepherd. He knows what we need. He knows where we're at. Here's this lost sheep, this sheep that was with the 99. They were all a group. Everybody was doing great. He sees something. Something catches his eye. He kind of wanders off and goes and goes and goes and goes. And really till he gets to a point, he goes, I don't know where I'm at. I'm lost. I need help. You know, and as he wanders and wanders, he's thinking of how great it was to be back with that 99. You know, he had this great shepherd that was taking care of him, that was watching after him, that would lead him to this nice, lush, green pasture, and he had something to eat because he's kind of feeling hungry now because he's wandered for a while. Or, you know, that he would lead them to that nice, cool stream of water, and he could take that drink of water whenever he wanted to because that shepherd was looking after him. But he decided to follow something. Maybe it was something shiny. Maybe it was a butterfly. Maybe it was, boy, I have too much work to do on Sunday. I need to stay here and do something else. Or I have plans this afternoon that I need to get ready for. Whatever it might be, we get distracted, just like that sheep that sheep did. And we wander off. We've all been there. Yes, before we were ever accepted Christ, yes, we were lost. We know that. We were wandering and lost, and God found us. But even when we become believers, sometimes we get distracted. That's all right. But we have to realize we don't want to get too distracted. We get so far away, just like this little sheep did, that he can't find his way back. And some of us might say, it's just one little sheep. What big deal? What, you still have 99 back here. You probably go buy another one if you want that even 100 number. But this sheep was special. And we have to understand shepherds at that time, too. They didn't own these animals. These weren't theirs. They were working for somebody else to take care of them. So they wanted to make sure that they were doing the best for their boss. So they wanted to make sure that every single one of them came back. And it wasn't either like, you know, this here the shepherd goes and wanders the wilderness looking for this little animal. This was the wilderness. You know, I go check my cows every day or every couple days or have the kids check them, whatever, and they're in a fenced-in area. There's really no danger of me, you know, unless I fall off my four-wheeler or I step in a hole, of ever getting injured while I do this. You know, I have a pretty good idea where this cow might be hiding or where she's gone. She's probably off having a calf. But this was the wilderness. This was desert. This was rocks. This was predators, bears, lions, all those kind of things that could go after and tear the shepherd apart. It would have been easy for him to say, I don't think I want to take that risk. I don't want to take that risk and risk my life to find this one little animal. But he did, because he knew that's what his Father wanted him to do. God sent Jesus to find us, to be that rescuer that we needed. And what does that shepherd do when he finds him? Does he scold that little sheep and tell him, why did you run off and put a rope around his neck and drag him back? No, he gently finds him, he picks him up, and he puts him on his shoulders. He knows that animal's weak. He knows that animal needs attention, and he attends to it. And he walks him all the way back, all the way through that rocks and that desert and those predators, back to that 99 where he's safe, where he has something to eat. He has that water when he's thirsty, and he celebrates. You know, in other parts of the Bible where it talks about this parable, you know, he calls his friends and has a party because he found this one little animal. He celebrates. The same way with us. When we have people that come forward, we celebrate. That's great. You know, that's great that we get to see that. And when they follow in baptism, we celebrate even more, because now they're found. Now they're back where they belong. We're all designed, we're all made to have a relationship with God. But some days we just decide not to. And as unbelievers, we really decided not to and say, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to find my own way. I'm going to be okay. But ultimately, not without that relationship with Jesus. We need that relationship. We need that church family around us. That idea that, oh, if I miss one Sunday, it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. Not just to you, but also to your church family. And we come here together to worship together, to fellowship together, to take care of each other. And that's my second point, that we all should be shepherds. God is the great shepherd. God is the one that we follow. Jesus is that example that he set before us, but we should all be shepherds. And that's where, you know, these next, you know, 15 through 20 kind of come in, because yes, we call this church discipline. And sometimes, or at least I do, we kind of get a different you know, we think about this a little different because of the first statement. If your brother sins against you, if your brother sins against you, in verse 15, we say, well, you know, I don't have anybody that sins against me, so I don't have to worry about this part. But as I was reading commentary this week and studying, what if we take out those last two words, against you? If your brother sins, how often do we think about that? How often do we think, well, I haven't seen such and such in a couple weeks. I should call them. We don't do it. How often do we think, well, I need to check on this other person because I know they've been sick. I know they've been struggling with the things, and we haven't seen them at worship. We don't do it. And I'll brag on my class, not just because they're the best class in the church, but hopefully they'll remember that come Christmas time. But we send cards every week. You know, we send birthday cards. We send anniversary cards. We send cards to people that are in the hospital. We ask people if they need other people to send cards. That's a great ministry. And it's not just to send a card and help the post office, you know, keep the revenue up. No, it's to make sure that those people know that they're being missed. Something as very simple as a card is all that we need to do. Now, there again, like I said before, there are people that aren't here today. We look around and we take a toll, you know, take a census or whatever we want to call who's not here. When was the last time we saw them? When did they kind of slip away? Yes, we have pastors. Yes, we have deacons. Yes, you know, Sunday school teachers do a good job of kind of keeping track of that. Your deacons and your pastors have lists of church members that they you know are constantly looking at to make sure, hey, have I seen this person this week? Have I, you know, when was the last time I've seen them? Do I need to call them to check up on them? Yes, there's that shepherding part of it. But we all have that responsibility. We all have that responsibility. If I don't see somebody, I need to make a mental note or write it down and maybe give them a call that day. You know, maybe they were just sick. Maybe they were on vacation. You know, a lot of times you won't see me because I'm preaching somewhere else. You know, maybe there's people we know that's going to be gone. You know, Nick, Preston, Noah, and Jake, we know they're gone this Sunday. Don't send them a card. We know where they're at. But there's others that aren't here this morning. And I really want us to think about that. You know, are they in that situation if your brother sins? Are they sinning? Have they wandered off into the wilderness too far? And we need to bring them back. We need to show them that we care, show them that we miss them, that we love them. And be just like that shepherd. We don't go to them in a harsh way. Just like it says here in verse 15, go to them privately. Say, hey, we've missed you. Where you been? Hey, is everything okay? Hey, what's going on in your life? Now, this also goes for, maybe I've seen somebody out in public doing something they shouldn't. Preston called me out a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night because, there again, I like to watch football, and sometimes I get vocal. Some of you have seen me at a football game. Colin heard me last night, so don't ask him about it because we were watching Mizzou, and yeah, wasn't good. But Preston kind of called me out. Not, I mean, he was using me as an example, and I hope I've never gone too far in some of that. But there again, he was willing to come to me and say, hey, or he didn't come to me. He was just using it. He said, maybe I need to go to Carson and say, hey, maybe you need to tone it down just a little bit. Those refs, I'm sure, have got their eyes checked recently. They don't need you to tell them that. Maybe, you know, just kind of cheer and have fun. Are we willing to do that with people? If we see somebody out in public and they're not maybe living up to God's standards, or maybe we know that they're sinning, are we willing to go to them? That's hard. You know, it's hard to go to somebody that you know, maybe it's a little easier to go to somebody I don't know, but it's really hard to go to somebody that I do know, somebody that I go to church with, somebody I know that should know better. But we need to go to them privately. Whatever the situation is, we need to take those steps to bring them back. And we do that with love and forgiveness, just like that shepherd did. He slowly walked to that sheep. He didn't run up on him. He wasn't yelling and screaming at him. Slowly, calmly walked to him. He picked him up, put him on his shoulders, brought him home. Often, how many times do we need to do that with people that are around us? Yes, it starts with people here at Richland. Like I said, we can look around. We know who's missing. We know, you know, maybe the reason they're gone, but maybe we don't. We go to them in private. But now, there again, this is the discipline part. If they're not willing to listen, if they're not willing to say, hey, you know, I'm going to yell at the rest if I want to yell at the rest, and nothing you can do about it, Preston. He's going to bring somebody else with him and say, hey, you might need to kind of calm that down and watch what you're saying. And there again, to have those witnesses, not just Preston saying, yeah, I've seen him do this. I've seen him go through this, and I've told him to stop. But now he has somebody else with him that sees me kind of maybe making those excuses, making those things, you know, trying to make those excuses to back out or justify what I'm doing. I have witnesses. You know, you don't go to a court of law with just something with hearsay evidence. And the Jews understood that too. That was part of their life. You didn't make accusations about somebody unless you had witnesses. And that's what they did. And that's where Jesus is at here. Take somebody else with you. A testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. So we have that established. So then if they don't want to listen to the group, then we bring in the church. We bring it to the church, and then we tell the church, say, hey, Carson's been doing this on a Friday night. We've gone to him. We've tried to calm him down, but he won't do it. He keeps this up. We take it to the church and let the church know and let the church deal with it. But we have to understand here, too, you know, in those days, there was only one church in town. You wanted to go to a different church, you wanted to fellowship with believers, you were going to have to walk a long way to do it. You were going to have to walk to a different county, a different state, whatever it might be, how you want to show that. But there was only one church in town. So if you got kind of told, hey, we can't have anything to do with you, if you're not going to correct your sin, if you're not going to correct and come back, then we're going to say, you're outside. You can't fellowship with us. You can't be a part of us. There, you know, just like it says, pay attention even to the church. Let them be like an unbeliever and a tax collector to you. Yes, we still talk to those people. Yes, we still have communications, but they're not part of this fellowship. They're not part of the brotherhood that they've known, that they've loved so much, and that we all desire. And not at this time. We want you to you know, repent of your sins and turn away from them. We want you back, but until then, we can't have anything to do with you. In today's world, that's hard for us to understand, because if I don't like it here and you all are telling me to do something different, I just go find a different church. And that's not God's plan. God has brought you here as part of this family to be a part, to help grow you as a believer, to help grow you as a Christian. Sometimes we have to take that criticism, if we want to call it that, or that instruction, those people trying to shepherd us in our lives to make us better. None of us like to do that. My wife tells me every morning what I need to do, but do I listen? Some days. We don't like to take that instruction, and especially even when we're calling people out on their sin, it makes it even worse, because we've all been there. We know we're so entrenched in our sin sometimes, I can't break free of it. I don't want to break free of it. Too stubborn to reach out for help. Just like this little sheep in Jesus' parable, all he had to do was turn around. If he taken a few steps, all he had to do was turn around, and there was the flock, and he had to walk back to him. He kept walking away, and we have a tendency to do that too. We walk and walk. I've missed this Sunday. I'll go back next Sunday. Next Sunday comes, rolls around, missed it again. So easy to walk away and make those excuses why not to go back, and especially when we're dealing with sin, to reach out and ask for help. Go to a brother and sister in Christ. You know, that's why it's important that we have discipleship groups, that you have that little core group of people that you can go, that you can lean on and say, hey, I'm struggling with this right now. I need prayer. I need help. I need instructions, whatever it might be. I have that group that I can go to, and I have that group that I know that I can depend on. So as we kind of look at the end of this, 18, I assure you, whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. What we're doing here makes a difference eternally. God knew that. We talked about the Lord's Supper this morning and family groups, and it's great that we're able to take that this morning to maybe keep that fresh in our mind, but also, too, that those promises that God has given us. How do we see the gospel in these verses? See creation. God created those sheep. God created the shepherd. God created it all. He is that great shepherd. But what happened? Sin happened. That fall, we fell away. We said, hey, we can do things better. That little sheep wandered away because I can find something better than what I have here. We needed a rescuer. We needed a savior. We needed that shepherd that was willing to risk his own life and limb, to wander the wilderness, to come and find us, pick us up, take us back. Not begrudgingly, not because he had to, because he wanted to, because he loved us that much. So as we have this time of Lord's Supper this morning, as we have that time of invitation, and I'll end here with a quick prayer, and Scott will kind of go through that with you. But where are you at this morning? Are you struggling with something this morning? Maybe you need to come and just confess, hey, I had this going on. I need help. I'm tired of wandering away from God, running away from God. I need somebody to come alongside me. I need somebody to pick me up and carry me for a while. Maybe as we go through this week, we think about those people that weren't here this morning. We think about those people we haven't seen in a while. Yes, pastors and deacons are doing that, but what does it mean when they hear from somebody else? They hear from multiple people. Because if you recognize that somebody's not here, there's somebody else that's recognizing that too. We all have that responsibility to be a shepherd. We have the greatest example of all with Jesus. We have to be that shepherd to others, that willing to do that for others. Pray. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being that great shepherd, Lord, that you were willing to send your son to this terrible earth because we needed a savior. We couldn't save ourselves. We had wandered so far away that we didn't know where we were at. We had no idea how we were going to get back. Maybe we just gave up. We knew we needed something more. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that knows they need something more. They're missing that. They're missing that relationship, that green pasture and that cool water. They're tired and hungry, and they need you to take them back to where it all started, Lord, with you, that relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that they would take that opportunity to come forward and to pray. And ask for that forgiveness, but Lord, that they would just take and turn around and see that their Savior's right there in front of them, waiting for them, with his arms wide open. Lord, how great of a picture that is. But Lord, also I pray for the rest of us, as those that come forward, as those that we baptize, that we're willing to walk alongside them, that we're willing to shepherd them when maybe they stray a little bit. Lord, that maybe we would stay with them, that they wouldn't go very far at all, that we would kind of rein them back in before they get too lost. But there's people on our hearts this morning that are burning, Lord, that we know that we need to reach out to, that we know that we need to say something. Lord, make that evident this week, who those people are. Lord, there's people that have gone here, but Lord, also there's unbelievers. Make those evident this week of who we need to go and share the gospel. Once again, just thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you. He was willing to come down the cross. His blood was spilled. His body was broken. They are dead. We're not worthy for him to do, but he did because you loved us. You sent him to do. And Lord, I just pray all these things in his name.